Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with week 77 of the Ham Radio Podcast. And today I'm joined by my buddy, Carrick.
What's up?
And we don't have Lone. We don't have Noah, naturally. So it's just us two. So you're going to have a lot of nerding out. Going to have a lot of great games discussion.
Much nerding.
Oh, yes. So down below in the link in the description is to Sugar Bombed. There will be a link to a thread that I've created so you guys can submit more questions there. You have a higher chance of being featured on the question section if you submit on the website because there's a lot less to filter through at this current time. So that's a way to generate some traffic for us. So if you guys want to go ahead and make sure you get your questions on, then ask away over there. Once again, link down below, along with iTunes and Google Play. Some people have been asking where the mobile episode for this week was. I don't know what the delay was on their end. But it should be up by this point. I don't know why. Sometimes they take longer. Sometimes they're like that when I upload them. It's really hard to time because we record these on Fridays. I've said this before. We record these on Fridays, and I don't want to upload it too early because then I want you guys to tune into the video part because that's where a lot of the fun happens. But also, I don't want to give it out too late so then no one cares. So trying to figure that out. But anyway, you should have both mobile episodes for this week and last week. I apologize to our mobile listeners as always. Timestamps, link, or not links, rather, they are just all listed down below, so you can skip to whatever segment you would like to. And then each week, I like to interact with you guys, so answer this question with the hashtag HamRadioTime on Twitter. Tag any of the handles you see on screen right now. Are you looking forward to Gears 4? There's been a lot of hype built up around this game very quickly, and I think the discussions are going to ramp up on that one. It's really turning into the flagship, or it really is the flagship, of Microsoft this year. So I'm really curious to see what your reception to it is because they did the launch trailer. It just went gold. They're talking about DLC, I think, already. So I'm curious to hear people's thoughts on it. I'm looking forward to it quite a bit, even as someone who's not a big Gears fan.
Yeah. It's what's the date for it? Remind me?
October 11th.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so pretty quick climbing up on us. Carrick and I will obviously be reviewing it, correct?
We hope.
Yeah, right, we hope. Anything going on your channel right now?
We've got multiple podcasts that we just did. From now on, in all of the ending podcasts on our channel, we're doing a breakdown of a game or game series. So we do the normal stuff, industry discussion, and at the end of yesterday's, we broke down Batman, Arkham, all of the games. We go like, what's your favorite antagonist? And everybody says that. What's your favorite protagonist and why? What gadgets you liked to use the best and why, and we break it down as well, just like what game design aspects did we like. And then today's, which I'm uploading later tonight for the international podcast, we got some guys in Europe and guy in the, I think he's on the East Coast right now. We discussed Telltale. We discussed all Telltale games and just like, what do we like, dislike, who's the best character in any of them. And so that has been a blast. And then I will be doing a Mafia 3 video on keys to success, recipe to success. I haven't decided how I'm going to name it, but basically I'm starting to do videos on games that are coming out, what they need to succeed, what I want to see them do, especially as we see a lot of these trailers. You and I have talked offline about this.
Yeah.
Where like sometimes the trailers, you're like, is it making me more excited or less excited?
Yeah, because you know, with Mafia 3, it's an interesting case because there's so
many.
It is.
And that's actually one of the things I want to look at. So that's it for this week. And some more reviews, of course, each day.
Cool. Sounds good. I'm curious, though. Have you played the new episode of the Batman Telltale game yet?
Yeah.
You have? I have not gotten a chance to. I've heard great things.
Dude, they're awesome. Yeah. I mean, the duality of the character, and there's some cool stuff for a bad guy. So I think you should jump in tonight if you get a chance.
Oh,
sit back and play it.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, this week's Bethesda News Roundup I found quite interesting because the Dishonored marketing is starting to ramp up. It is all over Bethesda stuff now. It's definitely gunning for Game of the Year, that's for sure. You can really tell, based off people's previews, what this game's letting you do, the replayability, and all that stuff. It really seems to be gunning for Game of the Year title. So, I don't know if you saw, Carrick, but there's a new Dishonored 2 Creative's Kill trailer where it's like all the crazy ways you can kill someone. Ridiculous stuff, man. Like, you see him set up a spring trap, then pull someone in, and it just lets go. You'll see him do a domino effect on someone and throw them into the reverse polarity. I forgot those electric gates, what they're called, but he'll throw it in there, and the rest of everyone else who is connected through the domino will just disintegrate. There's some real creativity that gives a lot of gameplay freedom, I gotta say.
Do you ever feel like they watch YouTube and go, we should put that in the game? Because it reminds me of the guy who did the video called like the top 100 kills in Dishonored, where he just went nuts, where I'm pretty sure most people didn't play like that. They tried, but he got so good at it. It was ridiculous. And I swear to God, like Bethesda saw that and was like, okay, because this seems to a level it way beyond like what they even attempted in one. Like that, it seems like oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's amazing because in one, it felt like this limitless gameplay. It still kind of does, even after all these years.
But there's a focus that's different.
Yeah, and now you see in the second one, based off the trailers at least, and people's hands-on previews, that it's somehow going that next step forward.
Yeah, right.
And it's incredible. So if people have not seen this trailer yet, I highly recommend giving it a look, especially at the end when he jumps off the building and like slows down time, shoots something out of the sky, you know, lands, catches someone, the thing lands, explodes, kills like five guards, and then he just walks out.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the movie MacGruber, I think is what it was called, which was like a ripoff of like, you know, the Lethal Weapon Michael Bay movies.
Okay.
And that's what the action hero would do, is like 15 things in the air,
you
know, juggling guns. But it's like in game form now.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's a perfect way to describe it, because it's just they pause time and they're like, all right, how much can we do in this span of time here?
Exactly.
It's amazing. On top of Dishonored news, this was an interesting marketing move. They released their full list of achievements, like spoilers and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wait, really?
Like Bethesda Net, too. Like, this is an official post. They are like, yeah, our achievements are out. Read at your own risk, because there's obviously spoilers here. I'm like, so someone's going to read this and post in the comments what happens at the end of Dishonored 2 to some degree. I'm sure it'll be a vague description, but if you keep it in the back of your mind while you're playing the game, you'll connect the dots probably. And so I thought this is a dangerous move. Does this say to you how do I word it? I don't want to say they don't care about the story, but are they worried more about the gameplay or the story at this point?
I think that in all honesty, so we already know leaks happen. And we talked about this off camera a couple months ago, right when I first started to talk to you, where I like spoilers. And I've discussed, like, unlike a lot of people, I actually enjoy spoilers. But when I was talking to some of the game developers, they were like, listen, we can't stop spoilers from happening. They're getting out, like, regardless, so we don't know what to do. So I think somebody like Bethesda is probably, like, it's just one way to get people excited. Let's just release the achievements. We know people want to know what they are. And let them discuss the game. Additionally, I am not going to put it past some companies to start faking some of this shit. It hasn't happened yet. But in no way, shape, or form is it impossible to fake or add achievements or remove achievements. We know it's happened.
That would be interesting.
Dude, it would be awesome if they were like, you know, I mean, it, you know, kill a main character, whatever. And you're like, oh, the main character, we know that person. And maybe you meet them right at starting a game. But then once you start looking, that achievement's been switched. Once you turn it on and it's a totally different character. You can't even kill the one that they said you could kill.
Yeah.
Because they can mess with people that way. You know, I would love that, actually.
No, that'd be a good plot twist. You know, hey, here's the achievement list. And they think they got all the spoilers.
Yeah.
They think they got the whole story out there. And then you play it. It's something totally different.
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea. And that might be why Bethesda, to some degree, is taking that route. We don't know if they're faking it, ladies and gentlemen, but
I don't
Fallout
think they
4
are.
Was, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah.
2 weeks before launch, every detail you could show of this game had
was
to
there.
Be shown. You know, it was, there were videos on just the main menu.
Yeah.
There were videos on the map. There were videos on the gear that the game took place in. Like, it was that, to that much detail, how much people want to know about this game. So I think that's why you're seeing Bethesda roll back around and say, you know what, let's just, you know, show the achievements. Also because, you know, Dishonored has a good story, I feel. I don't think it gets enough credit. I don't think it's amazing or anything, but I think with Dishonored 2, they're definitely focusing more on the gameplay freedom, because that's where its strengths lie. It's not a compelling story. I think it's an interesting one, and they give you a good enough reason to kill or not kill, but I think they know Dishonored's strengths for the second one's going to lie in its more creative gameplay, like flipping between realms, for example. That type of stuff is crazy.
Oh, right. Well, maybe they, after seeing what people played and enjoyed, maybe they decided that the gameplay will just be about you and I creating the game story in the way we play. Like, it'll be a skeleton, and it'll be a very interesting skeleton, but maybe a lot of it is about how we get to point A.
Exactly.
You know, versus them directing us through it all.
Exactly. Yeah, it's probably because they probably thought when someone told a story about Dishonored 2, when someone described this, or not Dishonored 2, Dishonored 1, when they described something in the game, they were probably telling a gameplay story on how they took someone out.
Right.
How they
exactly.
creatively killed someone. Something along those lines.
Versus, oh, like the princess died in Final Fantasy. Or not the princess, but when the character died in Final Fantasy VII or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly it. I think when people talk about Dishonored, it's rarely about a story beat. It's more about an action beat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's about what's happening, what you're doing, not what the story's doing. So. For me personally, I wouldn't say this is that they don't care about the story, but I think, like you said, I think it's this is where their interests lie more.
And I think they have confidence in the game too, don't you? Because it seems to me, even though people had some issues with a couple of the videos that we saw, I think was it at Live E3 at their Bethesda, there was a couple of videos that they've shown of gameplay, and people were like, "Oh, it doesn't look the greatest," blah blah blah. But it seems like Bethesda themselves has a ton of confidence in it. So I think they're just like, "Here you go, here it is."
I think so, too, because it's their big title of the year. Some would say Doom. I think they serve different fan bases, too.
Yeah,
for sure. But, you know, I think this is the big fall title for Bethesda, and I can understand why they have confidence in it, because I think this is one of the few games that you can look at and say, if you're into these types of games, yeah, this is going to be a really good game.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's one of the very few that you can look at and say, this is going to be good. At the very least, it's going to be good. And I think that's awesome. I'm really looking forward to it, though, because just that, like I said, that level of freedom is incredible. And the only game that I feel has come close to Dishonored's level of freedom is Splinter Cell Blacklist, maybe. That was a pretty free stealth game. I like that one. But that's the only one that comes to mind. There hasn't been many stealth games. Some will say Metal Gear Solid 5, but for me, there hasn't been a stealth game since the first Dishonored that I've really liked.
Okay, gotcha.
So for me, it'll probably be Dishonored 2. That'll be the next, like, this is the best stealth game I've ever played. Speaking of Doom, though, there is another free update that is live for the game. For those of you who are still playing the multiplayer, there's a new free-for-all mode called Deathmatch. And I'm actually kind of surprised. I didn't even realize this wasn't in the game yet. But yeah, there's a new free-for-all mode. There's also the ability to create private matches along with other standard optimizations that come with your game patches. Now, have you noticed this? Why do so many games ship without private matches?
The only thing I know when talking to developers is that many times numbers don't bear out that that's as important as what they put in. And also there's a control aspect sometimes too, where they want to control specific things. So a developer needs information. We've talked about this actually. Like, what does your dollar come with a post-it note that says why you friggin', you know, bought something? No. Mm-hmm. So what happens, I think, a lot of times is certain modes allow them to get some info, and then they can branch out modes from there. And the developers I've talked to usually state that whatever is in their game, there was a reason backed up. There's a reason for it and why something is missing. And it's not always resources. Sometimes literally numbers bear out for no one wanting private, unless it's Destiny. And then you just have a stupid idea. Because remember Destiny without the ability to do randoms?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I wanted to kill somebody when I jumped into that. Because a lot of my gaming, I don't know about you, but a lot of my gaming is with just random people sometimes.
Yeah.
Like just, and
I mean, I try to group up when I can, but most of the time.
I do too, but sometimes you can't, right?
Yeah.
You know, or if you're reviewing a game, a reviewer may not be on your fucking friends list, whatever. And the lack of that was so crazy in Destiny. So, Doom's great.
Have you looked into Rise of Iron, I think it's called? New Destiny expansion?
Oh, yeah. I have. They gave me a key, and I haven't even turned it on. The nice thing about people who get it, I believe it includes a 40-level boost.
Wow.
So you can start, like, if you've never played Destiny, you should be able to turn it on, and if you buy that, boom, be at the level you need to engage in that content.
Yeah, see, the game, I was interested. I haven't watched anything on it, but I was interested. Like, oh, cool, new big Destiny expansion. Apparently they've been working on it for a while, and then Twitter did its magic, and I wasn't even looking for anything bad on it, but, like, I just keep seeing retweeted onto my feed, vanilla game weapon, DLC weapon, is just like a basic reskin. You see vanilla game NPC reskinned in this DLC, and they're saying, I think they've gone on record as saying specifically that they spent a lot of time working on these new weapons and stuff. I could be incorrect, don't quote me on that, but based off what I've seen from fan chatter, that's a lot of people are disappointed because they just are being
It feels like it's just copy and pasted. And then
yeah,
repainted.
I don't like using the word lazy for game development. Because
I know.
I feel it's dirty, and I feel like as someone who's tried modeling shit before, it's hard. It's hard as fuck.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Regardless if it's a reskin or not, it's hard as fuck to do. So you don't want to call it lazy. I think it's a lazy design choice, but to actually take the action is not lazy.
Yeah, right. So that makes sense.
You know, I'm not feeling Destiny. I don't know. I wanted to get back into it because I know there's going to be a Destiny 2. And I feel like with every game nowadays, the sequel is going to be a million times better and going to take into account feedback, hopefully. And I want to get caught up on that lore, on that story. What I mean, the main story is like non-existent, but the things that happen in the DLC, what's going on in the Grimoire, that type of stuff, I want to catch up on. But this type of stuff is so unappealing.
Do you know how I enjoy Destiny? Laying back and just doing the story missions once, maybe twice, and playing some random games with friends. You know, I was talking about, I treat it like Batman Telltale. It's weird because I'm not the normal Destiny player. I'm like, you know what? And so if I get a weapon, somebody may say it's a vanilla something else. I wouldn't know because I'm not ingrained in that title.
True.
But I think Destiny has so many problems when it first came out that unfortunately, we've talked about this, like unfortunately it was already having issues the moment it came out. It had little problems here and there that these things that they do just make it a little bit worse and a little bit worse. And that's probably why you get the comments where people are like, vanilla, blah, 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 because people are looking closer because it started out with problems. Like it didn't have that amazing release and then you can, well, the DLC wasn't so good. Instead, a lot of people feel that Destiny hasn't stepped up their game. A lot of people feel that the Destiny developers haven't stepped up their game. You know, for example, Bethesda. I mean, I don't think anybody would look at Far Harbor and say, you didn't step up your game. Far Harbor is pretty insane. There's some really cool stuff. Nuka World, you would be able to speak to that more than me because I didn't play it all the way through.
It's fun.
But
I
don't think anybody would say they dropped down. They did some cool new stuff, right?
Exactly.
That is not always repeated with Destiny, I've noticed.
Yeah, and the same could be said for like a Witcher 3. You know, taking you someplace new, trying something different.
The DLC in Witcher 3.
Yeah. And some people have said that's even better than the game itself. I mean, I don't know. That's a pretty bold statement.
Pretty much everybody I talked to has said just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome, though, if a developer can do that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it shows they're listening. That's why I commend Bethesda on Far Harbor so much. People always ask, not really always ask, but I see a lot of people asking why or what's my favorite DLC. I'm like, Far Harbor, because that was what Fallout 4, I want to say should have been, but if the base game of Fallout 4 was like that, that would have been amazing.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
makes sense.
When I played it for the first time, I always say this, when I played it for the first time, super fucking awesome game. Its flaws showed once the community got its hands on it, and then you get Far Harbor, which is what the community wanted, because that's one of the few DLCs that I actually don't see people complain about, because the Fallout community can complain a lot, but they really don't complain about Far Harbor at all.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, regardless, though. That's actually our quick Bethesda news roundup. Just some Dishonored, some Doom. No real Fallout or Elder Scrolls. Nothing has really escalated in that department whatsoever. We could actually quickly talk about the Farming Simulator 17 getting mods on PS4.
But not.
Fallout 4 and Skyrim Special Edition are just like, yep, we're not putting mods on. You know, it's interesting because based off the description of said mod system for Farming Simulator 17 is running through an in-game menu. It's going to be community driven. You know, they're going to be added through the community. You just click a button, it downloads. So it sounds like BethesdaNet. We don't know the intricacies of it because Farming Simulator is not out yet, but it sounds a lot like BethesdaNet, where it makes you start to scratch your head a little bit and say,
it does. But you know what? I've played Farming Simulator. I actually have a key for it. And I will say this, it doesn't do what Fallout or Skyrim probably do when it comes to graphics and when it comes to sound. And so if you have spare CPU cycles, then the issues with the DRM requiring extra CPU cycles to translate the audio format, which we've talked about, then there's some issues there where it may be possible. And to be honest, we can look at it any way we want, but it's actually positive because what it shows is that it's possible to get mods on a PS4 game.
Yeah.
And I think if you walk away from it that way and go, I don't know what's going on with Bethesda and their issues. We know that some games it's possible and the developers want to do it. And that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, for me, it was just one of those.
What?
lukewarm moments where it's like, you don't, now you can't really, you know, a lot of people are like pointing the finger at Sony. I was like, I'm going to keep my finger pointed that way to some degree personally. I know you were more of the in-between where it's kind of both. Me, I was kind of like, all right, Sony, like it's I'm getting the vibe that you're just putting your foot down because they didn't come out and say anything. Bethesda did first. Now we see this where now I'm in the middle in between both of them where I'm thinking, okay, I'm seeing a team effort of fucking this up now where I'm feeling Bethesda has a plan. Sony has this DRM protection. Because of the size of Fallout 4, it's not possible to work around it unless they work through this DRM thing. So it seems like one of those issues that can only solve itself in a number of ways. A lot of people were suggesting that Bethesda supports Fallout 4 through official mods, as in every month they pick like a handful of mods and they make them available for download as like DLC. That was one thing people suggested, and I thought that was interesting. Some people said take the top-rated mods. I thought that was a little dangerous because that means you're going to be getting, like, tits in
nude
your game.
Mods. Yeah, yep. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
So, you know, I just thought that was a good discussion to quickly have because...
Well, what we should do is keep an eye on it for the next couple months and see what other games and, you know, and are allowing mods and sort of what goes on from there. Because remember, Bethesda didn't say no for sure, and neither did Sony, so...
Yeah, true. It's just a situation that I don't think they think will be solved by the launch of Skyrim.
Neither do I. Yeah.
So it'll be a while from now. Anyway, let's roll on to the now this time for real. What we're playing, our favorite gaming news bit. So you've been playing any games this week, my friend?
Yeah, Rogue Wizards, which I just did a review for. I just finished up the first episode of a game called The Uncertain, which is, it's a little bit like Telltale's, a little bit like Life is Strange. And basically what happened is you're after a human apocalypse where all the humans supposedly died and the world has been replaced by the robots. And the robots have sort of gone a little strange. And so they're acting a little bit like humans. So like the main character is this handyman robot who goes around the world and collects items, makes new items out of them, sells them to people in the city or robots in the city. And the robots haven't adjusted to the point to where they're completely human-like, but they're also not exactly robot-like. There's a little bit of free thought on their parts. And it's awesome because it's a Russian being translated, it's Russian, it's being translated into English. Well, the small errors, which aren't massive, allow you to feel like the slang of the world has moved forward. So imagine if you and I went to 1950s, the slang would be different.
Yeah.
So the small errors, or who knows, maybe this is on purpose, but the small once in a great while moment of an error in the vocal pattern is cool because it's like it's completely understandable and it almost is 100% perfect English. But then you'll get like a little bit of a weird syntax in a discussion. You'll be like, whoa, is that on purpose or is that like to show you that like things are said differently 500 years in the future? And then what you're doing is you basically, not to ruin it for anybody because this happens right at the starting, but basically, of course, you find out there might be humans left on Earth and somebody, like what's happening? Are they being killed? Are you, you know, what's going on? And to be honest, even for a couple hours, that was a fantastic game. Like,
oh, it's a full game.
It's episodic, sorry.
Oh, episodic.
So the first,
okay.
Yeah, the first chapter, that was 2.5 hours of like, that was actually really cool. It wasn't Telltale with the QuickTime events. It was more point and click and talking to people. But Uncertain. So,
Uncertain.
and then the hell out of Forza.
Yeah.
Like literally blisters from playing just, and I've switched completely back to the Xbox. The HDR, there's no way I'm going back to the PC until they add HDR. So I've just constantly been playing on the Xbox One and showing people HDR TVs and having people come over. We did a blind showing. I don't know if I told you that, but we had 20 people come over and we played PC version and Xbox One version. Okay. And they voted on which one they'd rather keep playing. 100%. All 20 wanted to play the HDR.
Damn.
So that just goes to show you how huge of a difference. It was crazy. Do you know how long it took me? It took me 5 hours to prepare my room so that they couldn't see what system was playing, so that I could give them the controller and all they would see is the game, like, or the steering wheel.
Who did you invite over? Are they just like friends or?
There's some people in the development community here in the Eugene, Springfield, Oregon area, here on the West Coast. And then two or three other YouTubers. And then a bunch of normal peeps who wanted to know what HDR was. About 15 normal people, like you and I, if we didn't do video games on YouTube. And then five within the industry who had not had experience with HDR.
Wow, that's awesome. That's so cool, dude. I really want to test it out, though. Yeah,
ridiculous.
I'm right there on the same page with you. Lots of Forza. Lots of it. I love it. it's honestly like getting up there on the game of the year list, man. It's pretty impressive. I didn't think I'd like a racing game this much.
Yeah, what are your favorite? For me, it's Dune Buggies, but is there a favorite like vehicle type or whatever race type that you're enjoying right now?
I'm a sucker for Corvettes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Because not to get like crazy sentimental, but my dad's always wanted one, and mm-hmm. so like you know that's kind of one of my life goals is one day to be able to like get him one. And so like anytime I see a Corvette, like I want to show him and stuff. So you know I just have like an attachment to Corvettes, and
gotcha.
Yeah, I just want to get one or something like that. So yeah, that's what I always try to drive is a nice Corvette, whether it's the new C7s or older models of them. Because that like once again I brought this up when we were on your show for the Forza Horizon discussion we had, but. Cruising USA. I always drove the Corvette in that.
Right,
the red Corvette. So, you know, I'm a Corvette guy for sure.
Yeah, Forza, the one thing I will say is... okay, wait a minute. Sorry, I can't say that. I'm under NDA for something. let me walk around something. I can't even now talk about it because it'll ruin the NDA because people will be able to figure out what I'm talking about.
No,
I apologize. I don't want to get in trouble. I will say that Forza is awesome. And yes, I did have some issues with the AI on the when I was testing it for different people. But I would say if you are not a racing fan, but you see something in Forza, which is what I hear all the time, is like something about Forza looks cool. I would suggest you check it out at somebody's place if you can, because the number of people who don't play racing games who now own it as of today is pretty fucking spectacular in my local group of friends.
Yeah,
I mean it's got a high turnover rate. So
yeah, and I mean if that's not convincing enough. You know, I know we try to, how do I word it? We don't pay as close attention to the official gaming outlets.
Yeah.
But, they're also all saying that this is arguably the best Forza game made yet. So
yeah.
It's just a general, everyone saying how good this is.
Yeah.
And it's just something sometimes it's like, you can't put your finger on it at times where it, like me, I said, I'm not a big racing game fan. So for me to keep going back and picking it up, it's just like, why? I don't get it. I'm just racing,
right.
But it's like there's something about it. I think it's just the way it handles the experimentation, the gameplay mechanics, something. I don't know what it is. Love it, though. On top of that, though, the main game I am playing more than anything is really still Overwatch, but oh my God, my stomach. Did you hear that?
Huh.
No way.
Wait, was it rumbling?
Oh, so loud.
It's like Hot Pocket. You can hear it, actually. Hot Pocket.
Yeah, it was so loud. Like, I actually was talking with these headphones on, which are
and you heard it?
Pretty sound dampening, and I literally heard it. It was not even just a feeling. I heard that. Anyway.
Overwatch?
Yeah, Overwatch. So, as usual, that's just my – I love it.
Okay.
I say it too much.
I got one more. Battleborn. I've returned to Battleborn. So I,
really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so Battleborn I rated – I actually really enjoyed Battleborn.
Same.
Don't think the most amazing game ever. But I happened to mention it yesterday that I was playing it, and every person on the panel was also playing it. So I'm assuming something happened. Somebody talked about it on,
four side. Times XP. I did see that.
Okay. I've been playing the hell out of that, and not the most amazing game in the world, but I have to say it's one of the few games where I end up being done and having a smile on my face. Like, that was a good time.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm 100% with you. I know there's a lot of people who just straight up hop up on the hate train for this game, but for me, I like it. I like it a lot, I'll even say, because I'm a supporter of Gearbox. I admired their ability to not just go down the Borderlands route and keep pushing that out, but try something new. And to be honest, it failed. It really did.
Yeah.
Financially, at least. But the game's good. It is good. It is a fun time.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I think the only thing I could have asked for in that game was a better story.
Right.
In the terms of that Gearbox charm.
Yeah.
But it did a good job with characters, and it's a lot of fun. So, it's been on sale so many times. If you see it for, like, $15-$20, I mean, it's worth more than that to me personally. But, yeah, if you see it for that price, I think it's a game that's worth picking up personally.
Yep, definitely. Agreed.
Yeah. But as for my favorite gaming news bit, this is something I want to talk about because I know you're not the biggest fan of Kingdoms of Amalur. That was one thing we really actually disagreed on. Right?
Definitely me.
Yeah, one of the few things we actually disagreed on. But I thought it was interesting that this court case has been going on for 4 years about this game finally came to a close recently.
Oh, did it? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, it finally came to a close. And it was amazing. I think there's still some other things ongoing, but there's this closing on the loan. But point being is that the court case is over. which means that things are finally settling down. And I felt bad for Curt Schilling because I'm pretty sure at the same time of all this court case going on, he got like cancer as well.
Yeah,
and so so things are just going downhill, and it was just like, jeez. But I'm happy that things are looking up now.
So how did they come? What was the judgment? Like, what was the end?
Let me look it back up, because when I read over it, it sounded like there were some things still ongoing with it. But for the most part, I know for a fact it was just a definitive closing of the case. Let me just bring it up right now. It would be easier to bring it up on my computer, but I can't get in the way of...
You know, it's funny, because while you're looking that up, it is funny because I think a lot of people, when they hear about a court case continuing, they always think, oh, you know, people, juries are sitting down talking and deliberating daily. I have a related member within my family, I'll just say that, who is a lawyer. And, you know, sometimes 6, 7, 8 years long when it comes to a court case. And what that really means is they literally show up for like 7 minutes. They say something to the judge. The judge says, yes, that's okay, or no, that's not okay. Their paperwork they filled out is correct. And then they move on for another week of working on it. It's crazy, because you always think, well, why would it last 8 years if they could figure it out quick? Mm-hmm. But it's funny because it can take so long to do paperwork, or so long to find out and invest what you want to say as being as correct and stuff like that. So 4 years, they probably did three weeks worth of work.
Yeah, I have an article here from PC Gamer. After 4 years of financial turmoil, Curt Schilling has agreed to a preliminary settlement with Rhode Island State following the bankruptcy of Kingdom Assembler developer 38 Studios in 2012. Alongside three co-defendants, Schilling had agreed to a $2.5 million deal, assuming the court agrees it, which will mean that Rhode Island has recuperated $45 million in litigation against 38 Studios. This is against the $75 million loan the quasi-public agency Rhode Island Economic Development Corp, now known as Commerce Corp, granted the studio in 2010. After failing to meet a hefty state loan repayment in 2012, the Kingdom Assembler developer laid off its entire workforce and was forced to declare bankruptcy, which prompted court proceedings in the first place. In essence, this left the taxpayer to foot the substantial bill. And as a result of the ensuing financial turbulence, 38's sister studio, Big Huge Games, later fell as well. To muddy the waters further, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission charged the Rhode Island Commerce Corporation and Wells Fargo, one of the banks that worked on the bond offering, with defrauding investors earlier this year. 38 Studios was itself cleared of criminal charges following 4 years of investigation. However, Polygon reports $28.2 million still hangs over the taxpayers. So the court case, keeping them out of jail, I guess, is over.
Yeah, so the thing – here's why I have a problem with all of that, or good – I don't know if it's problems the right word. But they haven't really shown any mismanagement. I mean, the thing is do you know what it reminds me of? It's almost like, hey, here's a loan. We're hoping you make a bunch of money. You didn't make a bunch of money, and so now we have a problem. And so it that sometimes is how it feels like the state is treating, like, and I understand that Curt Schilling did some stuff that supposedly wasn't like ethical. But what I'm saying is that's the way it feels. It feels like it's like it didn't do well, so we're coming back after them for our cash. And and then they tried to do bankruptcy, which is supposed to protect you. And then we're going to litigate anyway. Obviously, he lost. So whatever I thought it was, I was pretty much wrong, because he's the one paying. So that indicates that in some way they found him at fault. It's sad to me, because with all that money, all they could make, and I know you're going to disagree, but with all that money, all they could make was Kingdoms of Amalur. Like, really? With all that money, came out of that?
I'll admit.
Where's the Dishonored that should have came out of that? Or Dishonored 2 or whatever, because I wasn't a huge fan of Dishonored. Where's the big game that should have came out of that? And instead, you don't. Like,
yeah, even though I'm a fan of the game, I will admit that it looked low budget. It felt low budget.
Yeah, where's the $75 million gone?
Yeah, like that was part of the charm to the game for me.
Oh, true.
But then, after you hear all that money's kind of like, where'd it go, right? So I agree. Yeah, it could have been bigger, better. Well, you know, it could have been so much more for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's too bad though. I hate to hear anybody. I don't like the litigation crap, because as somebody who has broken an occasional law or two, I've been on both sides, and you'd never wish it on anybody. So
yeah. As for you, do you have any news that stuck
out
to you?
I was going to talk about one thing. I think I'm not going to bring it up because I think it's a hotbed of stupid discussion. But which was the I wanted to sort of bring up the Lucky Palmer discussion. Mm-hmm. But I think right now, until everything gets settled out, it's probably just sort of people just talking about other people's ideals. And that's not a good place for this. But one thing I do want to talk about is where it seems like lately, especially me, I've noticed I've been overly negative on Twitter. I've noticed this. Like, I've seen some of my tweets. Yeah, I've seen some of my tweets. And it all sort of stems around this weird feeling I get that, like, YouTube and everything is against the people who are actually creating the content for them. Mm-hmm. And that game publishers are against the content that we're creating for them. So you and I have spoken in the past about, like, you know, not getting a game review until whatever. And I was told recently that everybody would be having a delayed review copy for a title, and then found out that only websites got it. If you had a video, you were not allowed it. Okay. So I had a sort of a heated discussion with that person. And I guess what I would say about when it comes to industry news is it's if you start reading, you start seeing Polygon in particular. Do you follow much on Polygon?
I actually recently just started following them. I like keeping a tab on all these people.
Yeah, so they do big in-depth investigations, and so does Kotaku. So Polygon has done some that have been okay. Well, Kotaku did one recently on Star Citizen, and it came out this morning. It was a big hubbub about the behind the scenes of Star Citizen. And the thing that bothers me is that a lot of this stuff seems written instead of furthering gaming as a whole or gaming as an industry and furthering the intelligence and information within gamers so they can make, you know, good choices or whatever about what they're getting. Yeah. It's like fucking Bill O'Reilly or something, you know, going after somebody. And so Kotaku was talking to all these people behind Star Citizen, and regardless of what we feel about that, when I read it, I was like, holy shit, almost 80% of this is what happens normally. Mm. And it's all about how you say it. Kotaku was like trying to pretend there was bad shit in there, by the way. So the bad shit is fine. You report on that. But the normal shit that every developer needs, like, let's say, extra time for a game or extra money, they were pretending like it was completely, absolutely the strangest, most obtuse thing. Yeah. And so the only thing I basically want to bring up is the fact that, man, don't believe everything you read. I mean, some of this shit, you have to, or at
Kotaku
least you
have doesn't to, agree with that line of thought. You want to hear a good story about that?
Oh, God. I don't know, because I was pissed enough this morning just reading that. Like, and again, like, I'm not disagreeing then with everything they wrote. So go for it.
So I'll try not to name names. I used to report on, as you all know, the rumors of Fallout 4. There's a rumor that came from Kotaku that there were leaked scripts for Fallout 4 and that the game was confirmed. This just happened directly after the big hoax that was the Survivor 2299, which I don't know if you followed it at that time. It was like a separate website was created. It looked like it was by Bethesda. There was Morse code, phone line setup, addresses that all linked back to this website and all pointed at Fallout 4, and it was a lot of fun. And people were really heartbroken afterwards. And so, right the day after, I believe it was, a couple of days after, Kotaku's like, Fallout 4 is real. We got the information right here. Everyone was skeptical. And I'm not saying that as a point of justification, but for me, I was just like, all right, hold up. Like, you guys are coming out right after we just got burned and saying that it's real and providing scripts and stuff when things aren't connecting right now. So I say to my audience, you know, don't believe everything you read. This is exciting. I want to believe it, but I won't until I see it from Bethesda. I said something along those lines, though, that I just didn't really fully trust it yet. And that writer personally contacted me and wrote a page email ripping into me and like literally like how it was my fault that my audience came and attacked him about distrustworthy or worthless journalism, stuff like that. Like, I was the source of personal attacks on him. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I just said, don't believe everything you read because I don't see any proof aside from the script itself, which could have been anything. Not that he'd make anything up. But I'm just saying, for me, after the events, I felt my skepticality was justified. Fallout 4 is announced. Everything that was in the scripts is true. I was like, okay, that's great. Guy contacts me again through Twitter, tags me in an old tweet that he tweeted at me about it being real, and says, like, something like, what do you think now? Like, actually personally going to that weird length of rubbing it in my face. because God forbid someone didn't believe what Kotaku wrote. Right? Doesn't that kind of piss you off? I was just like, dude.
No, it doesn't kind of piss. Yeah, see.
Like, yeah, it's like, mind you, I'm like 20 at the time, and I'm acting more mature than someone who's like, I think, in their 30s. I was just
Yeah, you are acting more mature than I am, and I am older than you, because that would have literally caused me to go on a Twitter campaign of utter destruction with multiple videos created. But I would have definitely taken that email, and I would have pasted it everywhere. And I would have been like, this is what we have to deal with. When we say this, they can say whatever they want. A website can be like, don't believe YouTubers, or this YouTuber's getting paid for this, blah, blah, blah. But if you dare say, hey, you know, don't believe everything you read, and they have the audacity to attack you. And first of all, if anybody emails me, my personal opinion is, unless they say, you know, this is NDA, and then usually if it's not about something I want to talk about, I just delete it. But if it was something like that, I would have posted that fucker, and
well,
I would have just...
They caught me at soft, Maddie. If they got me now, I would have been like, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I would have just... I would have literally asked other YouTubers to come and assist me, and I would have done everything I could to... And the reason why is... by the way, that's to anybody. The reason why isn't because I think we're better. The reason why is because there is a lack of equality there that goes on. For sure. And I think... And that's why you don't see me... When I talk about Polygon, for example, I talk about articles. I'm not ever, ever mentioning a person. In fact, 99% of the time, what I will do when I read an article and I dislike it, I won't look at the person's name. I'll just read the article and be like, this was stupid. Because I don't think it's... Because we all say stuff that's stupid and do stuff that's stupid.
For sure.
You can attack that, but when you're attacking the person or saying like you are the cause of blah, 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 no, you're not. Because here's the thing. Unless you did a call to arms in your YouTube, you know, and said go and blah, 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 then that's actually on him. That's a defense mechanism on that.
I've said I don't know if I believe this or anything. It's just not my place. And I'm not specifically quoting myself, but I by no means was like, go tell
go
this
attack.
Guy that he's fucking
Legions
wrong and stupid.
Of mini Maddies,
yeah.
Go and attack
and
in your tank.
This was when I was at a channel size of, I wasn't even at 100K at this point. So he caught me when I was small. If he caught me now.
I'm sorry. I think that's I think that's so beyond unprofessional that it just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry that ever happened.
Oh, you learn, right? I learned from there. I was just like, yep. Come at me again, anyone with that privileged bullshit. I'll just no.
Yeah, the reason why I was bringing it up is I just feel that like especially in the industry, as we're moving into HDR, we're moving into new techs, we're moving into a switch where we're going to the Pro and the Scorpio. That consumers need more information that's unfiltered by like any kind of hyperbole and bullshit in that way. And it's one of the reasons I get a lot of people get mad at me or like, you don't sound impressed by Dishonored 2, right?
Okay.
Something like that. And I'll be all, well, I can be a little bit more, but I temper myself on purpose because I can't, it is possible for me to lead people by being like, this is going to be the best thing ever. And we're going to, you know, so I have to control myself.
Sound like me before Fallout 4.
but what happened? You learned, you even told me that you were very clear about, okay, I picked up on a couple things, you know, and that's the way we learn. But here's the thing. Why are you and I fucking the only ones who are learning? That's the thing. And I don't mean you and I mean, why are many of us who are like YouTubers, I see doing really good works and some of the websites doing far worse, 2-minute reviews on a review on a game or something like that. You know, it's just starting to burn me out.
At least on my side of things, you know, I just want to make sure I don't speak for you is that we're not saying all press is terrible.
No,
there is a lot of great people in the press that have nothing more than good intentions for stuff. But you'll see someone like, and he had nothing but good things to say about GameSpot, and I like GameSpot personally. But you'll see Danny O'Dwyer, for example, basically the face of GameSpot, leave to do this thing called NoClip.
Yeah,
right. And to create game documentaries that are not about clickbait, that are not about, you know, trying to gain views. Just, I want to inform you about video game creation process.
Yeah.
And the stories that are left untold. And that's awesome. That's something people can get behind. That's why he's got about 20,000 on Patreon right now per month, because people just want information. You know, they don't want this, and I'm guilty of this, by the way, but they don't want this top five things you didn't know about so-and-so. You know, I mean, I like top five videos. I like top videos all the time. You know, at the end of the year, I'll do a top five most disappointing, most overlooked, best games of the year, and so on, because I love doing those lists at the end for myself. But like top things you might have missed. For example, like, I don't know. Right. I'm not a fan of that. You know, I've done things like, I remember when Fallout 4 came out, I did like 14 little things in Fallout 4. Like, just a slight change in title. I think that's better.
Yeah.
The video performed well because of it, because it was just not like, you might have missed this. It was just like, here's 14 tiny little things, you know, little details.
Yeah, for sure. Mm.
Yeah, but Games Press isn't all terrible. Just a couple of bad seeds, I'd say.
And I think the situation, probably.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the entire way everything is done, yeah. Yeah, there's just a really weird, we've talked about this, there's a really weird difference between video game creators who use YouTube or video, Vimeo, whatever you may use, Twitch, than what people called the press at one time. Luckily, we've got a lot of companies that don't believe in the press anymore. They believe that everybody's press. But yeah. I think that those old-timers get a little challenged, too. I do believe that, where they get a little threatened. There's been a couple times where I've definitely, when I've read an article from a written website, that I've almost felt the threat that they feel towards, like, mm-hmm. Somebody with YouTube who has the ability to, like, let's say, influence people with a 15-minute video.
Yeah.
You know?
So, no, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just really interesting. But that's what excites me about video games, is we're moving forward in HDR and Scorpio. That's what I was trying to get to. We're moving forward in HDR, Scorpio, mm-hmm. PSVR. What I want is, I just need to make sure, and, well, we all need to make sure that, like, proper information is doled out that doesn't muddy up the water so people think something else is important, like Star Citizen missing a fucking due date. Like, yeah. There's other things that are actually very important that are going on right now that, and even within Star Citizen, report on the important things. Don't report on the shit that happens at every fucking developer. Excuse my language. I should not, cuss on yours.
No, by all means.
Every poop.
Pretty sure I've cursed on yours, so.
Every poop. Yeah, but I should be called Sailor Vision. Yeah.
Nah, feel free.
It sucks. It just sucks as a whole. And I'm trying to uncloud the waters. Even with HDR, I think I told you this. The amount of information that's wrong is, it's ludicrous. And people, there's a developer in a forum right now posting wrong information. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're the developer. And so I have to sit there and be all, okay, how do I go about this? I mean, because consumers deserve, when complexity increases, knowledge and information increases. And that does not happen in games. Games are weird. Or think about it this way, dude. Games are weird. Games are one of the only real, like, entertainments where the mystery, where they like, there's so much mystery around the creation. Now, mm-hmm. occasionally you get it in movies. Occasionally.
It's also what's interesting while we're talking about weird things in games that I wanted to toss out there before I forget is that,
yeah, for sure,
video games are the only type of entertainment product I can think of that if you buy not when it first comes out is better. If you wait,
yeah,
you will get a better product.
Yeah, the movie suddenly doesn't add an actor.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know, you don't get random. You might get like extra scenes. You could argue that with like Blu-ray and stuff, but with a video game, you'll wait for that ultimate edition. You'll get all the DLC for the same price that you would have gotten months back if you bought it on launch day with all the bugs and stuff that were patched in this ultimate edition. You get what I'm saying? Where that's another thing that's weird about video games that I don't think can exactly change because of the direct feedback developers get, where they're able to collect all this information quickly, fix everything, and then,
well, that's what I mean about games, like how in the fuck is it possible that we buy a game and don't know the performance level for a PC version? How's that possible? How's that legal? How's that even legal? How does that makes no fucking sense. Mm-hmm. And then, so what we do to fight it is somebody like Steam has to create their own refund system because the companies don't have good, you know, they're not checking the stuff to make sure it works. And so you have situations like that, and it burns me out for the consumer because I think a lot of people are getting burned not knowing it. I don't think a consumer should spend money and have to refund it mm-hmm. as their own guinea pig, I guess.
Yeah.
That's wasted time.
No, for sure. I completely agree. Yeah, that should wrap up our... what we're playing, favorite gaming news,
anything else? My diatribe, sorry.
No, don't apologize, dude. But anything else you need to add or feel like you
should? Nope, I think we're good.
Cool.
Except right now, support indies, because until you and I review, let's see, Gears, Battlefront, there's a couple big games coming. But this week and next week, there are a lot of small games that are coming out, Xbox One, PS4, and PC. So if you guys get a chance, now's the time to spend $5 on some pretty good games mm-hmm. that are coming out.
Yeah,
so
if you're looking to fill that void, that gap.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
And your channel's a place to be for that stuff, for sure. One thing I could recommend from your channel is you guys should check out Jeremy's Ember review.
Yeah, Ember's sweet.
Yeah, that game looks very good, and that $5 or whatever, $10?
Yeah, I think it's 10, yeah. Yeah, it's like Baldur's Gate little brother decided to show up to the party. It's fucking like, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't believe it, that price when you were like, yeah, it's 10 bucks. I'm like, what? Why?
Yeah, it's 10 bucks for 30 hours on the PC, and I was like, I mean, even the guy kept telling me, he's like, listen, it's like only made by a couple people. It's like 10 bucks, 30 hours, and I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm going to turn it on and be like, yeah, I can see why. And about an hour into it, I'm like, holy shit, the gameplay loop in this thing is just, like, it's already phenomenal. It just got better and better. And it doesn't mean it's perfect, but it is an indie game that is quite close to looking like a AAA title.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's very cool.
Anyway, this week we got some great fan questions, so let's roll into those.
All right.
First one we definitely had to talk about. We both bit our tongues in the last segment so that we could get to this question and have that discussion. Christo Fellini asks, what do you think of YouTube's new hero program?
You want to go first?
Bah! Foot. Yep, that's what I think.
I think that I talked about this in my podcast yesterday, but basically all studies have always proven that actions by themselves, isolated, can be changed by actions that are isolated, but now with a reward. So what's happened is this hero program has existed prior, but it's actually existed without the reward system. I know this because a YouTube manager actually posted in a forum I post in and explained the situation and said, hey, we're just rewarding people for what they've already done. And my opinion of this is, hey, you just threw out all of your years of history and all of your metrics. This is what I used to deal with, was metrics. And one of the things we talked about, one of the things we always knew, is if you change anything when it comes to the reward system, all your metrics that used to matter no longer do. Humans don't work that way. So when you're sitting here saying these guys have done a really good job, now we're going to give them more for doing a really good job. It's not the way it works. You can't even say that. So what they're doing is they're saying you're going to get rewards because people probably don't know what this is. The hero program, basically there's some people on YouTube, a good number of them, that because YouTube can't figure out how to do their own shit, they've got these people who are going out there and mass flagging content that's considered negative, by the way. That's it. They don't even say what it really means. They just say negative content and getting points for things like that and getting rewards. It changes the entire way you look at something. And that bothers me. It bothers me. I think, like you said, it's shooting them in the foot. We know YouTube doesn't know what to do. We've seen, I think you and I have talked about that. Yeah. Like, it feels like they're lost.
Yeah. I'm waiting patiently for Twitch to eventually open up their own video platform, because YouTube opened up their own streaming. I could see Twitch being like, okay, you want to play that game? You know, right. One of those things. For me, the hero program, I want to start off by saying they are so fucking predictable. It's disgusting on this platform where I literally said, when this was announced, just wait. They're going to say the "we hear you" post. It's going to happen. We hear you. And what do they do? Not even 24 hours later, start off a post. We hear you. Nothing is changing, and we review any videos that are flagged. Okay. Your automated processing systems have failed people's channels. There have been channels that have been terminated without explanation and brought back from the dead. There are people who lose monetization out of nowhere. Now, that's okay. We're fine. The people aren't losing monetization all of a sudden. Like, it was a big problem. Now it's gone. Then this hero program, someone's going to get mass flagged. Someone's going to get all their shit deleted because YouTube's automated processing system will inevitably fail someone because there's too many fucking videos to go through for someone to manually do it. So a system can't handle all that. Just because I would like to believe in that system, but previous systems like the automated content ID, like this new monetization, not new monetization, but this updated monetization, this type of stuff, hasn't worked either. So why would I trust in this hero program? I like one of the ideas, which is rewarding cleaning up content. To enforce a positive discussion where people are like, oh, you're creating a safe space. No, I'm sorry. No, they're not. It's because I'm tired of seeing a top-rated comment constantly being someone, not for me personally, but for example, someone trying to roast me. You know, I get tired of that because I like to go to my comment section and see intelligent discussion. If it's constructive criticism, have at it. Or when someone just like, dude, fuck you. Like, I told you about this comment. Like, dude, this is why you got dumped. You're a piece of shit, yada, yada. Like, is that really, do I need to see that? That wasn't thumbs up. But like, do I really need to see that? No. So that's why I also like this hero program, because it encourages people to do the right thing, which I don't think should take encouragement. But you can get rewarded for it now. But the only issue I have is mass flagging. I'm like, that's a joke. That's a fucking
joke. Yeah, did you see their diagram for it, too? It literally showed a bunch of fucking videos and a person just flagging them all as like, I will say one thing. The reason why I disagree with this at its very core is because two things are occurring. One, everybody's asking for more human oversight from YouTube, and they are going exactly the opposite every time. Two, this should be given to the content creators like myself and you to control our threads to make them to remove. So I have a curse list, I guess you want to call it, where I have the ability to remove derogatory racial names and stuff like that. But it works sometimes. It doesn't work all the time. I've noticed that for reasons unknown, occasionally it'll sneak in or somebody will change the word slightly, you know.
Yeah.
So you have a couple tools, but why are these tools not – why do I have no tools? Like when I look go into the back end of YouTube, I'm consistently surprised at the shit that I can't do. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, I can't – there's so much stuff I can't do to control things.
They and as someone who's been on the site quite a while as well, they don't convey them properly. Like I just found out a month ago, I said enough's enough. Like I saw just constant negative discussions, you know, just cropping up everywhere. I was like, I'm tired of this. I want my comment space to be a place where you can see intelligence that'll encourage. If I'm a game dev and I see Mr. Matty plays and I go to his comment section, there's not a bunch of people saying fucking dumb, you know, shit like that. You know, like actual intelligence being enforced. So I didn't realize that there's like a moderator program where you can actually gift channels the ability to delete certain comments on your channel. So for me,
gift other people.
Like other YouTube channels.
Yeah, that you trust.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, I took my YouTube or my Twitch streaming moderator team. And I was like, would you guys mind, you know, just when you're in the comments, if you're watching a video, just if you see something that would be I don't want to say controversial, like just don't censor anyone, but if it's inappropriate, if it's really just not contributing at all, just remove it. And they're like, yeah, sure. And now my comments, this my section is so much better, especially because I go in there, I try to engage more now. It helps. So that's partially why I can appreciate this system, but I also didn't know about this for so long. I've been saying, I sound like an idiot because I don't think many other people know about it, because I publicly come out and said, man, I wish YouTube had a moderating system where I could assign other channels to come help filter out my stuff in the comments. And it's been there. So for me, it's like, what the fuck? How did I not know?
It's in the section that's like moderators, right? Because you can also add Nightbot, by the way. But Nightbot only works during streaming, I think. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff missing for YouTube creators. There's announcements missing, stupid stuff. I can't tell all my subscribers something, which blows me away that when that was taken away about 5 years ago, when you used to have the ability to basically like contact all your subscribers with a video. Did you know that every subscriber doesn't get your video? Did you already know that?
Oh, for sure.
So stuff like that.
Considering that YouTube's like studies have shown that the basic amount of viewer retention on YouTube is 5 to 7%.
Yeah.
Like that right there says it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I wish that 100% had a chance to see it.
Yeah. There's so many problems with the systems, but long story short, when it comes to that one in particular, I think that you never reward something that was already coming to you. You have to reward things around it because you do change the basic interaction. And that's scientifically proven literally by like dumb rats, not even just, and people have proven it as well. So that's it. That's my answer for that.
I agree. I agree with you. Next question comes from Marwo W, who says, what, in your opinion, defines a hardcore gamer? And can a gamer be something in between hardcore and casual? So when I look at this question, I always like the answer of, oh, you know, a gamer is a gamer. You could play on a mobile tablet. You're a gamer because it's a video game. But for me, I think there is a, I don't want to say stigma, but there is a certain place you have to be an actual gamer. I think a gamer is just someone who sits down a couple of days a week and keeps in the gaming loop. You know what I'm saying? They try to sit down and engage with video games. Whether you could be even a jock who goes and only play, like goes out and plays sports, and the only games you play are MLB The Show, NHL, NBA, whatever. But you play those multiple times a week, then you're a gamer. You know, I don't think it's a personality-based kind of thing. I think it's more so how much do you game. That's how I usually weigh it. But I stay away from words like, I won't say I stay away from them, but I think there's a good degree, if you use it in the right way, where casual and hardcore could be used. Because if someone's playing like 24 hours a week, that or not 24 hours a week, they're playing like 50 hours of games a week. That's definitely a hardcore gamer, and you could not just say, "Oh, a gamer's a gamer," because that gamer's not in the same realm as this grandma who's sitting on the train playing fucking
snood
Zoom beanies on her yeah. fucking tablet or some shit. You know, it's totally different.
For me, it's usually, even if it's soft metrics, it's usually metrics driven. What I mean by that is if a hardcore gamer usually in some way, statistically, numerically in some way, either compares themselves to others or compares or within the game has a high number of something. Like like you said, sort of, how many hours have you played? Are you a person who's got all, are you achievement hunter? Are you a person who's played every Dragon Souls and you know all of the data points about, or Dark Souls, sorry, you know all the data points about Dark Souls? To me, a hardcore gamer, the problem with that is I don't know of a single hardcore gamer that I would actually call a hardcore gamer. And the reason why is because when you say gamer, you're not calling them a hardcore Call of Duty-er. The problem is when people are hardcore, they play less games most of the time. They play a particular type of game. So when I say somebody's a hardcore gamer, usually you ask them if there's a genre they don't play, and they'll tell you, "Oh yeah, I don't play collectible card games or whatever." So you can be a hardcore gamer about a title or two, but most of the time, those guys that I know aren't actually hardcore gamers. They're a hardcore titler, like they're after a title or series yeah. or a style or first
like,
person.
I don't play video games. I only come around for Fallout. I've seen that.
Of course, yeah.
So, dated a girl like that, actually. So, yeah, so for me, I can actually relate to that. That's totally true.
Yeah, hardcore is just, to me, is like amount of time, numbers. It's very metrics-driven for me, because every time I talk to somebody who is hardcore about a title, their numbers exceed anybody else's. And it's not because they've just done a lot. It's usually achievements within the game. And I don't mean the achievements themselves, but like, I've beat this game 10 times. Okay, well, then you're probably hardcore if it's KOTOR, you know, with KOTOR games, right?
Yeah.
But, for example, if somebody said, "Are you hardcore with Mass Effect games?" I would say, yeah, because I beat the original Mass Effect. Like, I stopped at like 66 times, or I stopped counting. Like, 66 times I played the original Mass Effect. And KOTOR is way more than that. I don't even want to. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
I lost count.
I don't really play Snood, or I don't play fucking Farmville. Mm-hmm. But I know people who spend money in Farmville. So are they hardcore? Because guess what? They're putting their money where their mouth is. That's more than me. Mm-hmm. I may spend $60. They might spend $300 in Farmville. So who's the hardcore there?
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people lean towards a gamer's a gamer. But I think, yeah. I view it as a tier system almost.
Right, right.
You know, if it's all easily accessible, you're just playing that Farmville, that mobile games on your phone like Fruit Ninja or whatever, probably could argue casual, that's like all you play. But if you're like invested in a console and you know you stay up to date on the big games and that type of stuff, like yeah, you're a gamer.
I have a question for you then. So I know somebody who plays a mobile game, Champions of Marvel Champions, which I've played mobile. It's actually a fantastic game and has spent maybe $150-$200 on it. At some point you have to say they're hardcore,
right?
See, that's the thing, like you can't, because that mobile game is complex, more complex, mind you, than maybe a Fallout game. It's insanely complex. So that's what I mean by because you were right. You said a gamer's a gamer. It's absolutely true. And there's different tiers. But within the tiers, there are outliers that make no sense.
Yeah.
The more you dial down, the more people, it's like squeezing something and they shoot out the other side.
Yeah, I know. You can't really narrow it down, which is why it's such an interesting conversation to have on like what tiers there are. The only type of gamer I don't like is the elitist, I call them.
Me too. In any version, I hate.
Yeah, the fucking, I'm bigger and better than you, dude. Like, okay, clap, clap, and congrats. You know, when I used to slap gameplay in the background and it wouldn't be, like, the best footage of me doing absolute work in a video game. It was just me, like, for example, with Overwatch, like, I got my review footage late for it. Like, I was playing the game, just immersing myself in it. I didn't even, for some reason, I knew I was making a review of it, but I didn't think to record. So I'm just playing the hell out of this game, and I think, oh, crap, I got to get footage for my review. So I just played, like, a handful of matches, flipped on the recording, and, it was just me, like, shooting around, and, I got killed a couple times. Yeah, like, I didn't look that good, but I was just like, who cares? And a bunch of people were like, how could you review the game? You suck, bro. I'm like, okay, you're here for my opinion, right? Not, like, my MLG talent. So those are the interest type of the worst types of games.
Did I already tell you that I sneak stuff into all my reviews? Did I tell you that already?
Like what?
So in every single review I've ever done, I always have a hidden message somewhere. You can always either hear it or you can see it in the video. And so like the last one in Forza, I talked about somebody just talking really fast and actually giving out no data. And I was actually talking about me. I was teasing me. So at 7:07 in Forza, I give a long diatribe that's actually about me. And only two people got it. But when they got it, I gave them games. That's the joke, is like, I'll give you a game if you post that you found the secret. So that's in cool. one of my games, I purposely, in numerics, I purposely spelled out F-U-C-K Sega. And I spelled, but it's spelled out very clearly. It's just little secrets, right? Well, somebody got pissed because how I spelled it out was I used the level indicator in the top left with my gameplay. So I was level 1, level 6, level 5, level 1, level 6, like to spell out something. This guy was so pissed. He was so pissed. He was
how
like,
how long does that take to edit, man? That's it, extra, honestly, extra
I usually
busy
have,
work.
Well, I don't sleep. So I was like, I had this cool idea and I was like, I'm going to spell this out in binary. And I figured it out. And man, people loved it. Like we had a blast. Cause that's what I like to do. I like to joke around. I'm like, fuck it. But this one guy was so pissed. He's like, your footage never shows you above level 1 or something like that. And I was like, dude. And so I gave him my own footage, you know, of like being level higher. I uploaded something and he emailed me back and he's like, why didn't you post that? And I honestly, I told him, I was like, listen, if you think that every person who fucking writes a website review has beat that game, you are daft. You are completely, absolutely daffy and should never, ever talk about games again. Because you are believing something that's, they will post three pictures on Polygon and a fucking, and write it up. I could do that in 1 hour of gameplay.
Yeah.
1 hour.
Yeah.
You need to take it as a holistic, the video, the audio, and the write up. And
usually you could just tell by the detail of script.
Yeah.
How much someone knows about a game.
Exactly. And I was shocked when he wrote back and he was like, dude, not only do I apologize, he's like, a lot of times I come at YouTubers and he's like, I realize, holy shit, the reason why I'm doing that is because I have a feeling a lot of the people I've been listening to their reviews, they haven't finished the game, like, because he was so puzzled. He's like, this person's not talking about this skill or whatever.
Yeah,
he's
see,
like
for,
you
for me
he
I,
goes you were talking about it, you just didn't show it. And oh, I just want to add, no. You've seen this, they'll say don't show after this level in the embargo.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
In the embargo it'll be all do not show after level 6. I can tell you how many times people have attacked me over that, been like,
yeah.
You didn't show after level 6.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, for me, I try to just respond to them when they're like, dude, you only showed early gameplay footage. I'm like, do you want me to spoil the fucking game for you?
Yeah, right, yeah.
No.
With the character that no one's supposed to know about.
Yeah, like, watch me. Yeah, because for me, I like to beat a game, you know, review it myself, upload my review, get the thoughts from my viewers, then go and watch other reviews. I don't like to be influenced during my process. And I'm watching these reviews. Like, Recore is a good example. I think it was IGN's. They had footage from the last level.
I know.
Of a fucking
I know.
Game. I'm like,
I know.
What? Like, why? You know?
I know.
If
it
it's
was
like
such
a brief snippet, sure, but it was like a platforming, a boss fight, this, that. I'm like,
oh, Maddie, yeah. I will tell you a little secret that I've done. If you watch my reviews, I usually, the very first, very second footage, the first will be the title, the very second footage cut will be a later level, and then the rest of the stuff will be earlier. The reason why I do that is so no one can complain.
Yeah.
So you'll see me go like level 28 and then everything else will be like 2.
Yeah.
And you know, or
so
or lower
like,
stuff.
Okay, he got this far. All
yeah,
right,
cuz I'm so nervous about spoilers. There was one guy who told me I spoiled the game in Doom because like what the evil lady was like talking to me or something like that. They're like, that person talks to you. That's a spoiler. And I'm like, fuck. Okay. I mean, nobody's ever got mad at me for spoiling, and that doesn't appear to be a spoiler at all.
But
this person
mistake.
Thought it was.
I made a video on, like, I used to do a series called, like, Humanity's Biggest or Best Hidden Gems.
Mm-hmm.
And I just point out games I felt like didn't get enough attention.
Oh, sure.
And so I covered a series called Danganronpa, which I've covered in the past. And I made one on Danganronpa 2. And in the I don't know what was wrong with me when I look back on it, because I watched the video again recently. And, you know, there's this class trial section. And so you have all the students there. But any student who's dead, you see their picture with a red X, like,
oh,
they're fucking dead.
Dude.
And so it's like circling. Yeah, it's circling the fucking classroom. And just you see on the edge of the screen, like, one person who's the main character with, like, an X in their face. I'm, like, watching. I'm like, how did I not catch that? Like, that wasn't even remotely subtle. Like, it's just there. It's there. And it's, like, a long process. And they're talking about the murder and stuff. Ugh.
That's embarrassing. But it happens. It happens. I've made mistakes before. I mean,
Yeah, no, I mean, from that point, it wasn't even like anyone freaked out, but yeah, you know, I just removed an element of surprise for some people, but I'll never do that again because I love that series so much. I refuse to fuck that up for anyone. One of the best game series I've ever played in recent memory, at the very least. Next question comes from Leonidas Olympia. Very dedicated viewer, asks great questions, always engages in good conversation. I've seen him tweet at you before. Love him. He said, biggest case of buyer's remorse. I have such a bad answer for this.
Like, okay, go for it.
Because... in an embarrassing way, in a way. So, I remember I was at Best Buy, and I wanted to get a new game. Now, I used to play the shit out of Naruto games when I was growing up, and I don't want to trigger anyone out there. I'm not sure if it's Naruto or Naruto. I believe it's Naruto. I'm going to stick with Naruto because that's how I've always said it. No one's corrected me. Regardless, I remember I was at Best Buy with my mom, and I saw this new Naruto game that I'd never seen before, and I was like hot off of Ultimate Ninja 3 or something like that. And I thought, damn, I want that. Now, I pick up the game, and it's all in Japanese. I don't know why Best Buy was shipping a strictly Japanese title. I'm an impressionable 10-year-old. So first off, it's $60. This was before games were, you know, around they were around the $40 price range usually. Right. This game was a PSP game for $60. Japanese and everything. And I pick it up. I'm like, this looks awesome. I think it was what it's called now is like Naruto Ninja Heroes or something on the PSP, something along those lines. And so I picked this up, and my mom's like, it's in Japanese. I'm like, but it's Naruto. She's like, but Matt, like, you're not going to understand it all. I'm like, I want to get it. And so, like, I somehow convinced my mom, and I remember putting it on the, like, the checkout line, and the cashier was like, this is in Japanese. I'm like, I know. They're like, why are you buying this? They're like, and I'm like, because I want it. They're like, if you open this game, you cannot return it. Are you sure you want to buy, as a 10-year-old, a Japanese game? I'm like, it's fine. I want it. So they ring. They're like, okay. They ring me up. I go home. I'm thinking, like, I got this. I pop in the game. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even know if I'm playing the story right now or anything.
Oh, man.
And I just, $50, whoop, down the tube. And at that age, that was not, that's not, I was rich at that point.
You know? I was going to say, that must have been an actual good amount of money when you were a kid, like 50 bucks.
And so, yeah, I'm sitting there just like, why did I do this? And I did manage to sell it on this story sprawls on for a while. I tried selling it on eBay, sold it to some guy, he bought it, and then tried accusing me of like faking the like selling the English version even though it was the Japanese version or something like that. I was like, it says in the description Japanese only. And so like it was this whole eBay dispute, and I finally got my money, which was half of what I originally had spent. So, yeah, like, that was – I regretted that purchase so much, though.
That's one of those ones that teaches you for years. Yeah. For me, remember, this is going –
nice and young.
This is going way back, but there was a game on the Sega Master System called Zillion. And Zillion is fantastic. It's also an anime. I can't remember which one comes first. But Zillion was a sort of a platforming Metroid game where to get through levels, you had to get to these – canisters, open up the canister, and inside each canister was like a rune or an imprint. And you had to get a certain number in every level, and then, or in the level, and then go to the door and enter them in the door. And you had a time frame for doing so. And in that level, there's bad guys, there's laser beams, there's all this crazy stuff. And the first game, phenomenal. I still can remember every symbol. And my friend and I would sit there, and I'd remember two, and he'd remember two, and we'd get to the door, and it'd be all, spectacles bug, and I'd be all, because they look like drawings, I'd be all, spectacles bug, and then I'd be like, figure eight, blah, 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 and we'd get through that door and go to the next area. Mm-hmm. And so we go to eBay years later, and there's Zillion 2, and I'm like, holy shit, Zillion 2, are you fucking kidding me? And I flip it around. Now, this should have told me that this was basically the Nicolas Cage Bangkok Dangerous version of Zillion, because I flip this fucking thing around, and I see motorbikes. Now, my brain... I was young at the time. My brain is like, it doesn't matter because I wanted it. And that's the way I was when I was young. I'm like, I want it. I don't care if it's fucking, you know, pink puffalumps. It says Zillion. And I love the original game. Yeah. So I talk to my mom and I make a deal. I was a wheeler and dealer when I was a kid. So I'm like, Mom, I will wash your car 3 times a week. I will wax it once a week for like 3 months. right? Oh. Because I this is young. I was young. So, like, this was – I had to do a lot of work because I had no money at all.
That was a dedication right there.
My mom even said, really? And I was like, yeah, 3 months. She's like, okay. And I get this game home, and I'm like, da-da-da, and I invite my friend Brian over. And we're like, yeah, Zillion 2. We turn it on. And it was one of those moments where, like, even the music didn't – like, it was just – it was instantly bad. It was – the music was bad, and we hit start, and then you're like this fucking transformable – it was almost like a bullet hell for some levels.
Oh, okay.
And it, so it went from Metroid-style, like, thought process and, like, cool, quick action to, like, bullet hell on a fucking back of a really shitty-looking motorbike. And we were all – it couldn't have been different unless it had been a sports collectible card game Barbie dressing title. Like,
oh, no.
Oh, my God. It was – and listen, I had fucking – dude, I had 3 months – of thinking of nothing but that game. Every single weekend, all I did was wash everybody's car in the house. And by the way, I'd said my mom's car. It wasn't. It was the cars. We had three. So every car had to be washed and every car had to be waxed for 3 solid months. And I honestly can tell you that's enough to change a small child's like pattern of thought. Because I never did that shit again. Legitimately probably became the grizzled old Carrick I am now the very day that ended. And I was like, never again.
Oh my God.
Dude, it was Zillion 2. If you guys get a chance, check it out. That game sucked. You know how it is with a sequel that sucks? Mm. It's almost like it was just done for like money or whatever.
Sure, I could look around my room and find a pretty good example. Sequel that's been done for money.
Like where it feels like it's legitimately just just been created, and you're like, I don't think there was any reason to. R-Type 2, I felt that way. It was a bullet hell shooter from years ago.
Yeah, if I went into my Steam library, I'm pretty sure I'd find a game that I was like, that was unnecessary.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. Sequel. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, thank you for digital cancer on the world. There's no reason to release that. Zillion 2, people, check it out. It's terrible. Yeah. Next question?
Next question comes from Ductor. Alicus. This is a good question for the both of us. What is the first thing you would do if a KOTOR 3 was announced? Yeah, right.
That right there. I'd shit myself green. Dude, you'd get texts. You would get Twitters. I would be fucking, I don't know where you live. I'd be in a car on my way to your house.
I'd be like, let's throw a party.
We would have to like get together and play it like on two systems right next to each other.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Dude, I know you just did this, but look at this again.
There is absolutely nothing right now that you could say above that right now for a title for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I just – see, the thing – I think we've talked about this before, but it's like I don't even know if a Star Wars RPG would be enough, right? Because like KOTOR is just this high-ass bar.
Yeah.
The highest of them all.
Yeah.
It's like how could you possibly think about breaking through that?
Just imagine, dude. See, I can spend hours just wishing that would happen. Like sitting there going, what? Because Knights of the Old Republic, the Old Republic is interesting as hell. It's just interesting. Yeah. The bad guys, the time. And so like you and I both loved those titles. And the idea of, I just sometimes like will sit and think, reminisce of the first time I heard the music of KOTOR 1. And I saw a trailer on TV for the original Xbox. And they were like, and you were like, oh, KOTOR, and you hear, you know, all the different Sith talking and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know what I would do, but everybody would know.
Yeah, exactly. I would make my voice heard everywhere somehow. I'd scream on top of a mountain, do something ridiculous for the video to go viral and just label it, this was for KOTOR 3. Like,
this is what Carrick looks naked and being kicked off or YouTube. One video, last video for the channel.
I think like, we've heard rumors of BioWare working on another Star Wars RPG, but I don't know if I have that trust in them now. They ruined my trust with Inquisition. I don't know.
And the battle system is half of the thing I liked in KOTOR. I liked the queue battle system.
They would change that for sure. Yeah. They absolutely would.
It was so fun about that too, because it was three people, but then they all had three choices, which then the combination was insane when you do the numbers. And so you felt like there was this cool strategy, like I'm going to stack this with this and that and this and this and that and this, that. And then you were like, go. And you got to like masterpiece or failure. You know, you got to watch it and
And then it was like, oh, I'm dying. Cancel all that.
Right.
Med pack.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. We can only dream, right?
I do all the time. Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. I would love to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't removed the Old Republic from the canon timeline. Thank you, Disney. So I think there's a chance we'll see an Old Republic game of some form. Because, like, what Disney needs to realize with these games is to not tie them in to the established universe, to the movies. I know Battlefront actually sold pretty well. I admit I was wrong. I didn't think that game would sell that well because I thought the reviews would kill it. I thought people could just see from the outside looking in after it launched. But I was wrong. I feel like a game is much more appealing when it doesn't have any ties because it feels like it's going to be fresh and new like a movie.
Yeah.
Where that's what's exciting about the next Star Wars Episode 8 or what it was for Episode 7 is that, yes, I am getting this fresh, brand new Star Wars experience. When you're tied into a movie, which I'm sure we all know this by now, it's just like you're limited by that license in a way. You have to have story constraints somehow fitting into whatever movie you're tying into. So when I look at that, I just think, why not make something separate? Because then it's got the Star Wars name. It's an amazing game. And people are going to buy it because it's Star Wars. Yeah. And if it's good, it's going to market itself.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would kill for it.
Yeah, well, hopefully one day. Anyway, that's all our questions, and that's all we really have for this week's show.
Well, he asked one more. Do you want me to read it?
Right, go for it.
It just says, worst thing you've ever done in a video game that made you feel like a complete asshole.
Okay.
I wanted to answer that because he just did it while we were in the midst of this, like 15 minutes ago. Anything?
I'd have to think for a little bit on that.
Okay, for me, PsyOps, you had the kick button, and I kicked a NPC I killed from the starting of the level all the way to the end and recorded it with Cadiz. It was literally one of the funniest things we've ever done. But when I got done, all of a sudden, for some reason, I was like, man, imagine if this was real. Like, I had gone in and shot this dude and then kicked his corpse all the way across the level to the last door. Like, what would I feel like? And I was like, and then additionally, Punisher on the PS2 and Xbox original, I actually got my friends to leave the room because I was playing such a bastard in Punisher. There's like a place where you can feed a dude's head to a shark, or you can smash a dude's eyeball over the tusk of a woolly mammoth in a museum, and I would do it repeatedly, and I would grab everybody and take them over to the tusk. After about the seventh time, one of my friends was like, dude, this is too... Like, I felt an asshole in real life, not in the game. Like, I was like, I probably shouldn't do this anymore because nobody's enjoying it but me. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, this is awesome. They put it in the game. Everybody else was like...
Sounds like the Manhunt games in a way.
Yeah, it does. It does. Definitely. Is there anything you've done that like, or at least maybe even felt you like a, have you ever done something, even stretching this a little bit, have you ever like accidentally deleted a friend's game? Like something within the game world that was accidental at the same time?
I got a pretty interesting story. Of course it loops back to Fallout, but it's probably only, because I pride myself on good morals. Probably the one thing, I mean, I've done some douchey things in my days like anyone else, but, this is pretty top of the line doucher move. I decided I wanted to try Fallout 3. First time I played it.
Uh-huh.
So my friend Jared, he's like, yeah, I have Fallout 3. I'm like, can I borrow it? He's like, sure. Comes in the next day to class, gives me Fallout 3. I come home, I play it, I fucking hate it. I'm like, this game is trash. So I have it for a while, and I'm like, I wanted to go to GameStop and pick something else up, so I was like, why do I still have this game? Like, I knew it was his. I was like, I'm fucking selling this thing. I sell his game, and I take the money, and I buy something new for myself.
Oh, my God!
And I played something else, and he, I will tell you right now, right until, it was definitely my freshman year of high school.
Oh, man!
It wasn't until my senior year I paid him back $20. Oh.
Man,
$20 I had to pay him back. He would text me out of the fucking blue multiple times a year. You have my $20? I'm like, yeah, next time I see you, bro, I got you. Like, stretched on. And then, like, eventually one day, like, senior year, I considered my waking up time. I was like, why am I holding out on him? Like, this is not something a good person does. Why am I holding out? What's $20? I'm going to go fucking give him, man. I'm like, I gave him double. And I was like, look, dude, I'm sorry. Here's 40. I owe you. I bought the game twice. I said, I sold yours, and I feel like a dick, and I mean, I'm still good friends with them, but still, it's like a good story. We always look back on it. I'm just like...
Exactly. I know what you mean. Yeah, you do something douchey, and you're still... And it sounded even like a joke, like, where's my $20? Like, it wasn't like he was trying to beat you up after school.
Oh man, those are, dude, I've had that... one kid who wanted to do that. I was terrified. Once again, freshman year.
Oh, gotcha.
Scary shit. Kids was like a fucking army dude. Like, I talked to his girlfriend just as a friend. God, he wanted to kick my ass. I was like, dude, like, I'm just friends with her. Don't kill me. I'm a fucking scrawny nerd.
There's always some asshole in school. Maybe yeah. I was an asshole for a while. When it comes down to it, that's probably the best story I've ever heard, though. I never in my life thought about selling someone else's game. To, like, that shit's crazy birds. Like, when I was younger, if somebody did that to me, I probably wouldn't even believe them because I would not expect somebody to do that. Like, that, when you said it, I was like, he fucking, so what? Like, that's why I was speechless for a bit. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what went through me. I was just like, I remember this much, though. I was on, this was before GameStop had listed prices on the trade-in values for all their games. It was only like the top 10.
Right.
And I saw Fallout 3 at like $20 or something, or $23. I was like, dude, that's like a quarter of a game, right? Or a third of a game right there.
It's a third of somebody else's game.
Yeah.
How did ownership not come into that discussion? Yeah, I like it. You're like, well, that's, you sound like a human slaver. You're like, well, of course, leave it up to character, basically, somehow attribute those two together. But I like how you're like, and I thought, you know, hey, that's like a third of the price of the game. It's not your fucking game. And you're like, why would that ever enter your mind? That's delicious, man. Because I've never heard of somebody doing that. That's awesome. That's very positive. That's a good way to end the Q&A for sure.
Yeah, that's one of my less prouder moments, but still a good one to look back on because it didn't backfire on me.
Exactly. You ended up with all your limbs and everything.
Yeah, I was alive at the end of this, so yeah, it's all good. But once again, thank you for joining. It's been a great one. This has been really funny. as always, guys, as you already knew, but the channel for Jeremy is linked down below. Please check out his stuff. Top-notch quality content, the very definition of it. Cannot recommend it enough on my behalf. He also has a Patreon, which you guys can check out. Support him there because your boy's opening one up soon. We're like Patreon duo. I can't talk. As these podcasts go on longer and longer, I just learn. I gradually lose my grip on the English language because I stare at a fucking blank wall. I need something to engage my brain. Anyway, that'll wrap up episode 77, I believe I said, of the Ham Radio Podcast. Thank you guys once again for tuning in, and we hope you have a great week.
Peace out.